My name is Pastor Becca, and it is good to see you all here. We would like to, for everyone, even if you've come every Sunday for way longer than I have been here, or if you've only come here once, we welcome you to being part of our community tonight. And we welcome you to Christmas Eve. An unexpected gift comes tonight. We know to expect it now, but it was very unexpected first time through. Tonight is, it's lessons and carols tonight. You do not know a big long sermon from me. The story speaks for itself. So please take some time to just settle in to the story, to the music. Think about it like we've never heard it before. Because we hear it so much, we can miss the power and the joy and the extraordinary moments that this is. So we will start with a call to worship. So please rise as you are able for our call to worship. When we do corporate reading, which won't happen a lot today, the L is for the leader and the P is for the people, for everyone. Christ child, we have been waiting for you. We have been waiting for you. But even as we have been waiting, we have been surprised.
We have not done
what we thought you would come to save one nation. We thought you would come and live among royalty. We thought you would only invite the elites. We thought you would point us towards God. Your light has shone in the darkness and surprised us at every turn. Amen. We have a lot of hymns tonight. Our first hymn is O Come All Ye Faithful. Feel free to sit during them or stand.
Okay.
The season of Advent is coming to an end, and we are almost finished with our waiting. We are looking forward, Emmanuel, to your kingdom coming and your will being done on earth as it is in heaven. We wait with hope, with faith, with joy, and with love for you to be born among us.
Scripture tells us that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
We see your light shining on us. It has not come how we expected it to. We have been surprised by how you move and by how you love, but we are so thankful. As we celebrate your birth, give us eyes to see where you are moving, ears to hear your invitation, and the readiness to join into your story. All together,
we wait with expectation for your kingdom to come. Amen.
As we celebrate tonight the coming of the Christ child, we begin by acknowledging that all is not well in our world. Sin has broken the relationship between us and God. Our world is full of darkness, death, sin, brokenness, injustice, selfishness, and hopelessness. We're both impacted by and part of these patterns. God longs to draw us back into a full relationship and is calling all of humanity back to him. Hear the word of the Lord from Isaiah 1, verses 10 through 17. The Lord says, Isaiah says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams, and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals I hate with all my being. They become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I'm not listening. Your hands are full of blood. So wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow." Please stand if you're able and join in the first song, "O Come, All You Unfaithful."
You unfaithful, come, weak and unstable, come, no, you are not alone. Oh, come, barren and waiting ones, weary of praying, come, see what your God has done. Christ is born, Christ is born, Christ is born for you. Oh, come, bitter and broken ones, with fears unspoken, come taste of his perfect love. Oh, come, guilty and hiding ones, there is no need to run. See what your God has done. Christ is born. Christ is born. Christ is born for you. He's the Lamb who has given, slain for our pardon. His promise is peace for those who believe. He's the Lamb.
God knows that humanity cannot save themselves, and he immediately begins to work. He enacts a plan to rescue his people. He promises to send someone, his chosen anointed one, the Messiah. The Messiah will bring rescue and justice to those who are oppressed. The Messiah will bring healing to all who are sick and life to the desert. The Messiah will lead everyone back into relationship with God, and all those broken places will be made whole again. God's children anxiously await the coming Messiah, anticipating all that he will do and bring. Hear the word of the Lord from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 3 through 10. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there, It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away.
The people wait and wait and wait for the Messiah to arrive. They have all sorts of hopes and visions for who the Messiah will be and what the Messiah will do. Maybe he will be a king or leader born into a royal family. Maybe he will be a warrior defending his people from enemies, armies. Eventually the good news comes, but not to any of the expected people. No. Instead, the good news comes to a normal young peasant girl named Mary. She was going to be the mother of the coming Messiah. Hear the word of the Lord, Luke 1:26-38. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
God is moving, is working on bringing all people back together into relationship with Him. But it's not happening the way that anyone expected. Even Mary's fiancé, Joseph, is not sure what to do and to believe. But Joseph knows God and allows himself to be invited into the amazing story that is happening around him. Hear the word of the Lord as written by Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home with you as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Then Joseph woke up. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Hear the word of the Lord from Luke 2, 1 through 7. About that time, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. This was the first census when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to travel to his own ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So Joseph went from the Galilean town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem to Judah, David's town, for the census. As a descendant of David, he had to go there. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the hostel.
Quite yet. We're doing a children's message first to surprise everyone. So any kids who would like to come forward are welcome. We're going to read a book, so any grown-up kids that would like to see the pictures can also come kind of sit here. Because I did not take pictures of them. So, otherwise you're just going to be stuck with my narration, grown-ups. Yeah, the picture is the best part. All right, thank you for being good sports. Now, this book is not going to make sense if we do not know what the word lowly means. Do you know what that word means? Lowly worm? Yeah, that's kind of a how it's used. Can we define it or describe it? Any ideas? It's okay. This is a kind of a Bible-y word. We don't really use it besides this story. Not important. Yeah. That'd be a probably good one. Like the worm, kind of like the one that crawls on the ground that nobody cares about. Least important is probably a good way to describe lowly. Okay? So we need to know that, or the story isn't going to make any sense. But it's a Bible word, so that's okay. So this is just called the shepherd. These are shepherds. Many years ago, shepherds were dirty and stinky and poor, which means they were lowly. Right? There's our word. The job of the shepherds was to take care of their sheep outside the city, where there were fields for the flocks to walk and eat and sleep in. Which is why the shepherds were stinky. They worked and slept outside with the sheep. Right? That is kind of stinky. Simon was a shepherd, so he was stinky and poor too. And he had a hard time walking because his leg didn't work right. Which means Simon was the lowliest of the lowly shepherds. One day, the shepherds took their sheep into the city to sell in the marketplace. But Simon's sheep had a spot on his leg, and no one wanted to buy him. Which means Simon's sheep was the lowliest of all the sheep. So lowly Simon and his lowly sheep walked back to their lowly field outside the city. But that night, something amazing happened. While the shepherds kept watch over their flocks by night, suddenly the sky was full of bright lights and angels saying, "Don't be afraid. We bring good news for all people. Today in the city of David, the Savior is born, who is Christ the Lord." Which means the lowly shepherds and their lowly sheep in their lowly field were chosen by God to be the first people to hear about Jesus. Simon couldn't wait to meet the one the angels were proclaiming, the one who would save the world, including him, from sin and sadness and loneliness and fear. And because he was the lowliest shepherd in the lowliest field that night, Simon got a head start when he ran to Jesus. He ran and ran and ran. Not even his leg could slow him down. And suddenly there it was, a lowly stable, a quiet light, and a baby. The stable was stinky, and the family inside it was poor. They were lowly like him. But Simon knew he was kneeling in front of a king. The angels told him so. And deep in his heart, he could feel it. Jesus was the Savior God's people had been waiting for. And the lowly shepherd with his lowly sheep from a lowly field was going to be the first person to tell others that the Savior had come. It didn't matter that Simon was a shepherd, or that he was poor, or that his leg didn't work right. Jesus had come to save all people, including and especially lowly people, which includes us,
and people must know. And, all right, just like last time, one thing we remember. Did we use the word lowly a lot? Why was it important to Simon that he was got to go to Jesus first? Why do you think? He knew God cared about everyone. And up until this point, he was always the last. Right? In the story, nobody wanted to buy his sheep. He had to stay far away from other people because he couldn't walk as fast. And yet he's the one that got there first. Because that's how Jesus does things. Right. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you pick us even when we're lowly. That you find us when we're small and weak and unimportant, and you tell us, no, you are important, and I have a job for you. Thank you that you bring the lowly into your kingdom. Amen. Now we will stand and sing Joy to the World, because this is very good news.
Joy to the world. After the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, God continues to act unexpectedly, sharing the good news of Christ's birth, not with powerful people, but with the lowly, beginning already to undo the broken patterns caused by sin. Hear the word of the Lord from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which they were just as they had been told.
Long before the birth of Jesus, God made a promise to his servant Abraham. Sometimes we call him Ibrahim. Same thing. In Genesis, that all nations in the world would be blessed through him. For so long, the focus of the Messiah had been on only one set of people, the people of Israel. But the promise to Ibrahim was always to bless the whole world. And when Jesus, the Messiah, is born, the promise is fulfilled. Jesus is not only for the people of Israel, like people originally thought. Instead, Jesus is for all people who love him and accept him in their hearts. The blessing of right relationship with God and being part of God's family is now open to all who love Jesus. Truly, unexpected good news. And I love this verse. Thank you for asking me to read it. And if you listen carefully, you will know why I love it so much. Galatians 3:26-29. In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Christ is born here on earth. God has come among us as one of us to rescue and restore his people, bringing us back into right relationship with God. We have not been left abandoned in the darkness. We are part of Jesus' kingdom. We too get to share the light of Christ, a light that never fades and will never be overcome. Hear the word of the Lord, John 1, 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
We have been waiting for the light. And tonight, we celebrate that it has come, that our waiting does have an end, and that joy does dawn. So the tradition of Valley Covenant, I have been made aware, is that we will sing Silent Night together. We will sing it, we will also sing a verse in German and in Spanish, because the kingdom of God and everyone welcomed is not just the English-speaking world. If you do your best, if you do not speak those languages, God will understand. We will circle the room together and pass the light of the Christ candle. And when you get the light, you're going to pass, almost like communion, you're going to pass to the next person, the light of Christ be with you, until the whole room is lit. So, yes, try not to drip on each other. You'll want to turn it and then lift it up. So please rise as you are able and circle the room. I always mess the mic up. As we leave from this place into whatever this Christmas season holds, see that you are holding light now. Light that has come for you when the world is dark, and for you to share when the world is dark around you. And know that you are loved, you are forgiven, you are redeemed, that the Christ child has come to bring you into his family. So go in peace and enjoy to love and serve the Lord tonight. Merry Christmas.